You may be seated. It's good to have you here. Merry Christmas to all of you. They'll be back up here shortly, and we'll continue to worship the Lord and hold on to your candles till the end. We're going to all light those together here during the last two songs that we sing. So, Merry Christmas. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this glorious day, this time where we can come together to worship you and to acknowledge the incarnation where God came down in human flesh, born in a manger. You came for us because you loved us. And Lord, we thank you for your work, your ongoing work in all of our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to each one of us now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're here gathered together once again for another Christmas Eve service. What a wonderful time of the year being together with family members and friends. The great anticipation of our children and now our grandchildren as they can hardly wait to open up their Christmas presents tomorrow morning. We always had a tradition in our home when the girls were young, growing up, that they could always open up one present on Christmas Eve. And they were always excited about that, and they could have one gift, but we saved the best presents for Christmas morning. But what a joyous time that was, and what a joyous time it still is. You know, we have a granddaughter, Acacia, as many of you know, and she's at that age where everything is wonderful and exciting about Christmas. Everything's filled with just amazement, you know, to be 7 years old again. You know, every gift is received with wide-eyed curiosity, just true thankfulness, even if it's a simple gift like a pair of socks. You know, she's always very gracious and thankful. And in all honesty, Acacia has been one of the greatest gifts of all time in my life and Elizabeth's life. She's been such a blessing for us. She came into our lives at just the right time. And I reminded her of that tonight when we were eating dinner. You came at just the right time. And then she wanted to argue with me. It's like, no, I didn't. I was 2 days late. If I was born 2 days earlier, I would have been born on Nana's birthday. And so I was born 2 days. And I was like, no, you came at just the right time. No. And it's like, oh, whatever. But we love her. But, you know, she came at the right time for us. You know, we were going through some difficulties and just some different struggles. And, you know, what a blessing. You know, what a great gift. And if we never received another gift in our lifetime, it wouldn't matter at all because God has blessed us so much, you know, especially when it comes to our daughters and our grandchildren and our extended families. And this, our church family, we're so blessed by all of you. And I hope you feel the same way about your family and extended family. God has truly blessed us so much. In the spiritual realm, the Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, we read this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. But you know, as much as we love to receive gifts, as much as we love to give gifts, our Heavenly Father, He is really the originator when it comes to giving gifts. God is the ultimate gift giver. And I think the reason that we love to give and receive gifts so much is because that's God's nature. You know, God just loves to abundantly bless us. And He is, again, the ultimate gift giver. But when it comes to giving and receiving a gift at just the right time, at just the right moment, God gave this world the greatest gift of all. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to earth at exactly the right moment. We read this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And so about 4,000 years after God first promised the world the Messiah, as He did in Genesis chapter 3, and in fulfillment of many Old Testament scriptures that prophesied the coming of Christ to earth, God sent us the very perfect gift, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The only gift that could give us everlasting life, the only gift that could forgive us of our sins, the only gift that could give us true meaning and true purpose for living. At the right time, God the Father sent God the Son into this dark, sinful, rebellious world. Now, why would God do such a thing for sinners like all of us, for sinners all over the world? Well, the simple answer is God loves us. God loves you, and he loves me. And God, who is moved with love and compassion for sinful creatures like you and me, did something about our lost condition, our hopeless situation. He gave us Jesus. That's what it boils down to. That's why we look at John 3:16, and it's so real, it's so alive. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, God gave his only begotten Son. Now remember, we were lost in our sins. We were dead in our sins. We were dead to the things that God wanted to do in our lives, all the blessings he had for us. But as Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the true meaning of Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ for one specific reason. Jesus was born in order for him to die. He was born for the purpose of dying. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Those are the words of the forerunner of Jesus, the one who was preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John didn't even realize it at the time, but he was preparing the way for Jesus Christ, who would ultimately become the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God. Now, let's look at a couple of very significant passages of Scripture. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. But very significant passages that really captures the essence of what Christmas is all about. So in Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph." So they're engaged here. "Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." And I'm sure she had a hard time explaining that one to those around her. Joseph was upset. "You're pregnant? How'd that happen?" It was the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, right. So then Joseph, verse 19, her husband, this was before they were had consummated their marriage. This is part of the betrothal in that period of time. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, in other words, she could have been stoned to death at that time for being pregnant under those circumstances, was minded to put her away secretly. He loved her and he didn't want to see her put to death. Verse 20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.'" That's from Isaiah 7:14. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now we look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." It's about 70 miles south of Nazareth. "Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." And she's about 9 months pregnant at this point. "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Swaddling clothes were strips of cloth that was often used as burial cloths when they would entomb somebody. So a forepicture of what was going to take place with Jesus. Verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger or feeding trough.'" And so that's the sign. Look for an unusual baby wrapped in grave clothes lying in a feeding trough. Not too many of those around. So that'll be your sign. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste," that means they're running as fast as they could, "and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who had heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So it's very interesting to me that the very first public announcement that Jesus is born, the Messiah is here, was given to these shepherds. They're living out in the fields, it says. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, they were living in the fields which were outside of Bethlehem. More than likely, and the reason I think this is significant, is this is where many of the sheep were being raised for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. When the sheep became 1 year old, then they would take them to the temple, the priest would examine them, and then they would sacrifice them unto the Lord for the sins of the people. Bethlehem, where they raised these sheep, is only about 5 miles away from the temple there in Jerusalem. Another significant thing about these shepherds is they were considered unclean by all the priests in Jerusalem. They're unclean. But how glorious that is, that the first to receive the public announcement about the Lamb of God, who was born to die for the sins of the world, as the Lamb of God, would be to these unclean, sinful shepherds. Why is that so glorious? Because that is the heart of our Savior. This is what we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, that is what Christmas is all about. Seeking and saving the lost. It's about Jesus, who said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, one of the greatest examples of this is found in the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 4. This is where the Samaritan woman has this encounter with Jesus, the Messiah. And if you remember the story, this woman, she was lost, she was confused, she was going from one relationship to another, and everything was miserable in her life. She was going nowhere fast. But Jesus lovingly and graciously and patiently spoke to her. So we read in John chapter 10, starting in verse 4, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew,'" here it is, "'the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, Jesus is letting her know everything in this world, everybody in this world, will eventually leave you empty and thirsting for more and more. But when you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive his love and his forgiveness, the free gift of God, which is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ, Jesus says you'll be satisfied forever. You'll be satisfied for eternity. Because when you receive Jesus into your life, you receive all the blessings that God has for you. Receive all the goodness of God. You receive all the forgiveness that he has for you. You receive a new relationship with God. He gives you eternal life. He gives you riches of grace. He gives you an abundance of joy and peace and love. He gives you everything. In other words, God gives us all things that pertain to life and genuine godliness. And it's all wrapped up in the package, the gift of Jesus Christ. The only true reason for the season that we celebrate as Christmas. He alone is Emmanuel, as we saw in Matthew chapter 1. God with us, who will save his people from their sins. So the big question is, has Jesus saved you from your sins? Have you received him as your Lord and as your Savior? Listen, the greatest gift of all will never be found under your Christmas tree. The greatest gift of all will never be parked in your driveway with a big red bow around it, saying this is the December to remember. Yeah, you'll remember, but that's not the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ and the new life that he has for you. And it's only discovered when you are finally honest with yourself and you realize you cannot save yourself, you cannot forgive yourself of your sins, but there is one person who can, and that's Christ. And not only can he save you and forgive you, he wants to. In fact, he died on the cross, he shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. He rose from the dead because he is alive forevermore. And because he is alive today, I mean, he is here. He's here right now with us, offering the free gift of everlasting life. And I can guarantee this, the gift of God that is Jesus Christ our Lord, he will never wear out. He will never go out of style like some of our Christmas clothes. He'll never break. And best of all, it's a gift that is already completely assembled. And he gives you a lifetime supply of batteries. They're included. In other words, Jesus has done it all. He's given us himself. He's given us the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live a life that he wants us to live. And all you must do is open your heart to Christ, ask him to come into your life. And the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. So you receive the gift, you believe in Christ. Those who believe in his name, and what name is that? It's Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. And I want to lead you in a prayer. If there's anybody here, maybe this is the year you want to receive that free gift of everlasting life. There's no better time than Christmas Eve, the day we celebrate the coming of Christ into this world. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing gift that's all wrapped up in Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly came into this world to lay down your life for us. Lord, you truly are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, so many of us, we were like that woman at the well, confused, lost, going from one bad relationship to another, one bad situation to another, making bad choices in life. And yet, Lord, you didn't shun her, you didn't push her away, but you gave her the offer, the gift, that free gift, and all she had to do is receive the living water, a relationship with you, eternal life with you. And Lord, we thank you that as we know the end of that story, she was excited about what you told her. And she ran and told other people the good news about you. And so, Lord, we know there is hope for all of us. You came into this world to seek and to save those of us who are lost. And Lord, if we would just humble ourselves and admit that we are lost without you, we need your forgiveness. We need your life. Then, Lord, you're ready, willing, and able to come inside of all of our lives and cleanse us and forgive us and make us a new creation in Christ, where the old things pass away and behold, all things become new. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, maybe you've never made that decision, or maybe you've wandered away from the Lord. You kind of rewrapped that gift and set it aside. Then I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. You can invite Christ into your life. And he promises that he will come into your life. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll give you the promise of eternity, the hope of heaven, to where you know that when you take your last breath here on earth, you're going to wake up in the presence of God. And you'll see him face to face. And you'll know that this is not a fairy tale that people made up 2,000 years ago, but this is the reality of God's word, that you came into this world because you loved us and you died in our place. So pray with me in your heart if you want to receive Christ tonight. You want a new start with God, a new beginning with the Lord. Pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus into this world. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly coming into this world to die on the cross and take all the pain and all the punishment, the judgment that I deserve for my sins. Thank you for taking that upon yourself as you hung on that cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and you are alive forevermore. And thank you that you're here offering the free gift of everlasting life. I receive that gift. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart, even now. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I'll dine with him and he with me. So thank you, Jesus. I open the door of my heart to you and I thank you for coming into my life. Lead me and guide me and strengthen me and forgive me and move me from this place, Lord, into a closer relationship with you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anyone prayed that prayer after we're done here this evening, if you want, we have a Bible we can give you to help get you started in that relationship with Christ. Come and see me after the service, and we'd love to hook you up with a Bible. God loves you, and he demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Steve and Paige are going to come up here. We're going to start. Just light the candles here in the front. And you guys turn around and light candles around you. And as you just keep lighting everybody's candle, we'll just worship the Lord and thank him for his gift, the gift of Jesus. Let's worship him together.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Rejoices beyond earth's a new and glorious morn. Far away, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, guide, divine. divine, truly taught to love. Shall he pray over the slain as our brother, and name his name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise, we lift up with us praises holy.
So, oh, how he
Because you are a God of grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, you've given us Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being the substitute for each one of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you took upon yourself all that we deserve. And Lord, we thank you now for your grace and your mercy and your love. And Father, may we shine the light even as these candles are lit, shining brightly in this dark room, Lord, we shine the light of Jesus wherever we go. Give us your strength. Give us your wisdom. Give us your love for those around us so that they might see more of you and less of us. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together tonight. We thank you for coming into this world. May this world see that you are the true light of the world. Lord, may you reach out and touch many people's lives in these days in which we live, where there's so much hatred and violence, there's so much discouragement. But Lord, you are our hope, and we love you and we thank you. We commit our hearts to you once again, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.